And we're going to read together on the theme of prayer from Psalm 10. This psalm is a very honest crying out to God and asking God, come on, my life isn't going so well, and crying out to God. Let's listen carefully as we follow through as Audrey reads.
Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He is haughty, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble. His mouth is full of curses and lies, and threats and trouble are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush he murders the innocent, watching in secret for his victims. He lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, God has forgotten. He covers his face and never sees. Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you, and you are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to account for his wickedness that would not be found out. The Lord is king for ever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted, you encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man who is of the earth may terrify no more.
Thank you, Audrey. I think that's an astonishing psalm, isn't it? This guy saying, why is it that the wicked are the ones who succeed? I'm good, I'm faithful, I'm honest and true. God, arise and do something about their wickedness. Well, we're going to take just a second to, in our prayers, to think about where are the areas in our world where there is suffering, where the wicked are succeeding, where we would cry out to God when we see a particular situation arise, oh God. And what I'd like is for some feedback. What are the areas, situations that we can think of in our world today where we would say, arise, oh God, come and do something about this situation? Thinking today about prayer. Last week we looked at the Bible, and really in terms of this whole course, what I've sought to put into the course are the key elements of that will confront somebody when they begin a journey of faith. The key elements that will confront somebody, I think, when they will begin a journey of faith. They have to face up to Jesus. They have to work out something about the Bible. And they are confronted by prayer, what that is. Next week, we'll be looking at the church and what is the church and so on. So all of these talks are just for what I'm trying to do is just lay them out and say they're not as scary as you might think. And anyone of any age and any place on their journey through life or through faith can engage with them. Begin today, prayer is. And because we're in church, I might as well get some responses. Prayer is. Prayer is like a telephone, says Julie. Okay. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is listening. Prayer is praising, receiving, sometimes difficult. Very good. Yeah? Okay? Prayer is, and it could be defined, I guess, in lots of different ways. Prayer is communication with God in one way or another. We recognize that we are all physical beings. We are physical beings. We are material beings. Folk like Richard Dawkins and a lot of the new atheists, basically what they are, they would describe themselves as atheists, but what they really are materialists. They are materialists. They believe that only the material exists. Only the stuff you can touch and analyze is real. And so they don't believe that there is anything beyond that which is material. Now, of course, just as an aside, their big problem, and there are a number of atheists who are talking about this at the moment, is what the Dawkins and the materialists can't account for is consciousness. They can't account for consciousness, and that is a big tripping block to trip on for the atheist, the materialist. But we are physical, we are material, but we recognize that we are also emotional. We look after ourselves physically, we try to eat well, we exercise, and so on. We look after ourselves physically. We try to look after ourselves emotionally because we know that, that's an important part of who we are, our emotions, how we feel about things. And from time to time, we ask help from other people, which is not physical help, but it's emotional help about how we feel. But we also recognize on a journey of faith, we're exploring the spiritual, which impacts the physical and the emotional, but the spiritual is that sphere of life and existence that cannot be contained by the physical or the emotional. And prayer engages, yes, it can be physical and emotional, but it engages with the spiritual. And we cannot contain the spiritual, but prayer is communicating with God who is spiritual. Prayer is communication with God. Now, I think somebody may have said this, prayer is experiencing God. So it's not just the communication, talking, listening. It's experiencing God. Experience in a spiritual way. We know what it is to experience something physically. Experience something emotionally. But there is also a spiritual experience of God, of the one who is above and beyond and other than us. And prayer is something of that, that experience of God. Not just talking to God, not just listening to God, but there are many in the world who would say that prayer, when I pray, I'm just quiet and I experience God. Now, Christian prayer. Prayer as communicating with God would be recognized, I guess, by all religions. Prayer as experiencing God, again, I would guess, would be recognized by all religions. So when we talk about Christian prayer, what are we talking about? It seems to me that Christian prayer is specifically relationship with God. Relationship with God. We have talked about Jesus being at the center of a journey of faith. That desire to follow Jesus, to obey Jesus, to do the things that he did, to have a character of kindness and love and compassion and mercy and a desire for justice and peace, just like Jesus did. And it is in relating to Jesus that we develop our relationship with God. And Christian prayer is everything that that entails, that relationship with God. And so it is about speaking. Prayer, Christian prayer, is about speaking. It is also about listening, but it is also about being. It is about speaking and listening and being. Now, we're going to spend a few moments learning from Jesus. And Jesus as somebody who prayed. And if we read the Gospels, the accounts of the life, the teaching of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, what do we learn about prayer and particularly about Jesus and the way that he prayed? First, put up the word Father. And maybe this is the unique point about Jesus. When he prayed, he encouraged his followers, pray like this. And in encouraging his followers, pray to God, Father, not some distant being out there somewhere who might impact your life from time to time, but relate to God and pray to God as Father. Jesus both taught that and lived that himself. God as Father. That's how he prayed. And we have there something about wonderful about Christian prayer. Christian prayer is that relationship with God as our Father. God as Father who loves, who cares, who is generous, compassionate, merciful to us. If we're to engage in Christian prayer, then so where do we begin if we're learning from Jesus? It's to understand God is Father, and I pray to God as Father. The experiences that we see in the life of Jesus. Sometimes he prayed in private. There's a number of occasions that we read of where Jesus didn't just get away from the crowds. And there were sometimes hundreds or thousands of people, apparently, who followed Jesus. He didn't just get away from them. But sometimes Jesus left his disciples, those closest to him, and he would go away specifically to pray. And there is something there about prayer, the need, not all the time, but from time to time, to be in private when you do it. In fact, on one occasion, Jesus said, when you pray, don't stand on the street corners and make a great show of it. Rather, he said, go into your closet and lock the door, and there pray to your Father. The private element of prayer is very important. We see it in the life of Jesus. But there are other times when Jesus prayed with people. Towards the end of his life, his disciples are all with him. And it's recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 17. We have this wonderful prayer that Jesus prays. He prays for the world, he prays for his disciples who are listening, he prays for himself, and it's a shared experience. Not just Jesus, but it's a shared experience. So prayer, it is sometimes private, but it's also sometimes shared. And then this third thing I put up, Sometimes it's very public. Sometimes the prayers of Jesus and the prayer life of Jesus was very public. Sometimes when he spoke to God, there were others, crowds all around, who could hear what he was saying. So sometimes it was public. So what we see in Jesus is that sometimes it was private, sometimes it was shared, sometimes it was public. And then we see in the life of Jesus that he prayed at important times. He prayed at decision times, and he prayed at stressful times. One important time when Jesus prayed was when he came to that point where he realized he needed to gather around him a group that he could teach and train to be disciples. And we're told that before he chose the 12 disciples, what did he do? He went away, and he actually went in private and he prayed, because this was an important decision to make. And we all have, from time to time, we all have important decisions to make. And we can look at Jesus and say, well, what did he do? He prayed before he made the important decision. And there we have that second one, that decision time, the important times and the decision times Jesus would pray. And then there are the stressful times. Do you know, sometimes I think when we are stressed, when things aren't going well for us, sometimes we will just shut down and we don't do anything. We don't talk to anybody. And we just exist in our stress. What do we see in Jesus? And this is something I love about Jesus. Right, again, I was telling this story on Friday evening with Jam Club. The story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we have this wonderful example of somebody. It was an important time, and it was a decision time as well. Jesus saying, should I go with what I know is laid out for me in my life? Should I respond with love and kindness and peace to what is coming towards me? It's a key decision. But it was also a time of great stress. Just around the corner was his arrest and his death, his execution. And what we have is Jesus in that stressful time praying, but praying very honestly. And he says, Father, I don't want to do this. If there's any way I can go through life without having to encounter what I know is there, please make it clear. And he prays again. Lord, if there's any way, but if it is your will, if this is what is there for me, yes. And we're told that Jesus, in his stress, he was sweating because there was so much stress. So we see in the life of Jesus, if we're going to learn about prayer from Jesus, first of all, and key, it is God is Father. He loves and cares for us. So we're confident in our prayers. He prayed in private. He prayed at times that were shared with others. He prayed in public. He prayed at important times, decision times. He prayed at stressful times. But then he also prayed at joyful times and thankful times, and also in ordinary times. Jesus seemed to delight when children came to him, when a woman challenged him about blessing and healing. And he spoke to God in such times. And at one time, it's almost as if he's laughing and said, I thank you, Father, that you've revealed your will and your wisdom to the humble and low, not to the wise of the world. And there's a great sense of joy for Jesus. And this is what we see in his experience. There's times of prayer for Jesus in the thankful times, appreciation to God. for what Jesus has. And also in the ordinary times. Also in the ordinary times, we see Jesus at prayer. And so we have all these examples of Jesus at prayer. But also, right at the end here, we have honesty and we have blessing. Honesty, I think, is so important in prayer. If we are praying to God, who is our Father, who, we say, knows everything there is to know about us, then what's the point of not being honest? Because our Father, God, knows who we are. He knows what's going on. And we might say, well, why pray if God knows? Because it's about relationship. It's about sharing with one another. And then the last thing I've put up is the example of Jesus blessing. Jesus sought to bless. That simply means he prayed or said words where he was asking God, his Father, to do good to others. Maybe they didn't deserve it, in our view. But Jesus prayed prayers of blessing on others. So we have all these examples from the life of Jesus. And in that, I think we have something, in a sense, for every situation that we encounter as well. That prayer can be included and involved in every part of our lives, as it was with Jesus. Now, there is a prayer for those, I've said, on the journey. For those who hear, as it were, Jesus say, come follow me. For those who begin to respond and say, do you know what? I'm not sure about it, but I'm going to begin to make my journey. I want to discover more about God. I want to discover who this Jesus is. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. There is a prayer for everyone who's begun that journey. And it's the same prayer whether you're just beginning or whether you've been journeying for 50 years, 60 years, a lifetime. It's the same prayer. And it went like this. Jesus was, well, the disciples of Jesus came to him. And they said, John the Baptist, your relative, he's preaching about God. And there are people who are following John the Baptist and his message. And they said, Jesus, John the Baptist has given them a prayer. And it's their prayer. It's the John the Baptist prayer for those who are with him. It's their prayer. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Give us a prayer. That's not a John the Baptist prayer, but it's a prayer for us, for those of us who are following you. What should we say when we pray? And so Jesus said this, when you pray, say this. And we'll know this prayer. We know it as the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer because he gave it to us, but really it's the disciples' prayer. It's a prayer for everyone who's on the journey of following Jesus. And it begins, Our Father. Key for Jesus in prayer, Father. And he says, when you pray, pray, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Isn't that an interesting line to have? Give us today our daily bread, not what we need for tomorrow or next week. Make us content with today and what we need today. Forgive us our debts, the stuff we've got wrong, and as all, we also have forgiven our debtors. That's another interesting line. Jesus saying, if you're going to follow me, you must learn contentment today, your daily bread. But you must also learn forgiveness. I've forgiven you. God forgives you. So a mark of you following me is that you will freely forgive others. And so we pray, God forgive us in the same way that we've forgiven others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Keep us safe. whatever we go through. Because as soon as we start on the journey of following Jesus, there will be those who challenge us and who come up against us. So Jesus gives this prayer to say, if you're on the journey, if you don't know what else to pray, just pray this prayer. Say these words, and you're relating to God as Father. You're honoring him. You're praying for contentment in your own life, asking forgiveness and reminding yourself forgiveness is really important for those who follow Jesus, and praying for safety and security. So what of the practice of prayer? At the beginning, I spoke about speaking and listening and being. Speaking. We can talk about conversation, confession, or written prayers, or Bible reflections. In my all of what I put up now, I've done from time to time, and I still do. I will talk to God as if I'm having a conversation with somebody who is right next to me. I've done this. I don't know whether it's intuitively. I've done it ever since I was probably a teenager. I've just had conversations with God. Sometimes I will go for a walk and I will have a conversation with God. There have been times when I've said prayers that would be recognized as confessions, acknowledgement of stuff I've done, and particularly stuff I've done wrong. And confession, I think, is important in prayer because it gets it out. If we don't say it, it's hidden. But when we say it, it's out there. And that's a good thing in prayer. Written prayer. Sometimes we may find it a struggle to say prayers. And maybe one thing is to write a prayer to God. And you can write it like a letter. And you can say, Dear Father, today I was at church. And we sang some songs and we prayed and we reflected and so on. And you can just write, almost like a diary, but write it as a letter to God, writing your prayers. And you might find that helpful from time to time. Another way to pray is to pick up the Bible, as we have done from time to time, to pick up the Bible and just to have a passage of the Bible and just to let it be your prayer, like we Audrey read for us Psalm 10. We can just slowly read that as our prayer. And the point being, there are lots of different ways to do this prayer thing. We can only start from where we are. Could be a conversation with God. Could be confession. Could be written prayer. It could be Bible reflecting. Listening. Not just speaking, but listening. Let's see what we have here. Listening. So somebody mentioned listening earlier. It's not just speaking, but listening. I think it's really important from time to time in prayer just to be still. Just to be still. To be silent. Quite deliberately so. To sit down knowing you're going to pray, but be still and silent. And the Bible actually says, be still. And know that I'm God. Almost as if God is saying, there is a time to speak your prayers, but there's a time to be quiet. This variety of prayer. And when we are listening, it's about openness to God. It's putting stuff down and just being open to God. And again, Bible meditation. Sometimes when we're not speaking our prayers, we can just take a word or a phrase from the Bible that we've read and we can just repeat it over and over, almost like we're chewing on something good. And we can use that as our prayer. And then the third thing here, not just speaking or listening, but being. And it is that awareness of prayer, everyday life, ordinary life being our prayer. And you may have had those times, as I certainly have, where I've got up in the morning and sometimes I haven't been feeling fantastic, but I've just put my feet on the floor next to my bed and gone, here we go. And that has been my prayer. And what I've been saying in those words, here we go, is not anything particularly joyful. Here we go, here we go, here we go. But it's just that acknowledgement of, may my whole life, I might not have anything to say to you today, Father. I might not want to be quiet. But can everything I am be a prayer for you and with you today? Because prayer is that everything that makes up that relationship with God. In prayer, we can only begin from where we are.